Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear what you say to us today. Amen.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings, rams, and the fat of calves, a beast. I have to go to the big one. I'm using a Bible. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asks this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I'll be reading from Hebrews. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as innumerable as the grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. The gospel today is from Luke chapter 12. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert. When he comes, truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So, my third year of seminary, that thing that you do, you know, to become a pastor, to wear this beautiful garb. My third year of seminary, I spent completely away from seminary, as one does. Right, Noah? And I was in, for about 5 months in the fall, I was in Kenya. And I spent time studying theology and how international development kind of connects with theology. And or how the church has lived. And one of the things that folks let me do is I got to intern with an organization that was serving folks with HIV and AIDS and their children. So kids who had been orphaned, who had parents who died from HIV and AIDS. And this organization was located in Nairobi, so the capital of the country of Kenya. And it was a slum. It called Huruma is where I went to work. And Huruma, interestingly enough, stands for compassion and mercy in Kiswahili. And I would ride the bus down every day and take about an hour. And I just want to give you a glimpse of what it looked like. You knew that you were in a Huruma when you started to see open sewage, when you saw people living in hundreds and thousands of people living together in houses that divided one house from another with a piece of tin or a really thick piece of cardboard. And often the bus driver would have to kind of go off-roading a little bit because there wasn't trash pickup. And even the trash pickup that the city did, sometimes they dumped in Huruma or one of the other slums. And so there would be trash piles that are bigger than this building, higher than these ceilings, that you would have to drive around. And children all around, there were businesses, there's kind of like a little business corridor. You know, kind of like the outdoor mall here in Germantown, what's it called?
Saddle Creek.
I'm sure it was just like that. where folks sold, organic vegetables and fruits, where they sold clothes, where they sold trinkets, a million different things, ways that folks were making their living so that they could go back to those kind of tiny homes that I told you about, not in the cool HGTV way. They would sell in this corridor, and because the land was not technically theirs, they didn't technically own it or have a license for it, once a month, the government would come through and torch all the little kind of stalls. And so you would see, if you went really early in the morning, you would see people kind of rebuilding their stores and their shops. And part of that slum, there were two large churches. And I thought, well, you know, why don't I, you know, I'm in seminary, I should probably go to church, right? So I thought, why don't I go to church? And one of these churches had worship every day at noon. So I went, and as I was going, there were hundreds of people, all who lived in Huruma, going to the worship service. Standing room only, much like it is today. Standing room only, with people filled from the neighborhood. And you know, they would have like five or six preachers come out. They all were dressed in the finest suits. You would notice that they would have a driver drop them off from their Bentley or their BMW or their Benz. I don't know why they all started with B's. And they would preach about You know, if you just love God, if you just make sure you're faithful, you come to church every day, not just every Sunday, but every day at noon, and you just keep giving. If you keep giving out of your need, what little you have, if you give, then God's going to bless you tenfold. And people would say,
amen.
Look, it sounded a little different than that. But people would say, amen, yes, Lord, preach. And inevitably, there would be one person that would come up in an even finer suit, and they would say, you know, I used to be down and out, but I started coming to this church every day, and I started giving God all that I had, and I just prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I was just always in the church, nowhere else. And I gave all out of my need, I gave. And right when I was on the edge of everything, God began to bless me. And I got a BMW, and I moved out of Haruma, and I'm up on the hill, you know, where all the fancy houses are and where all the foreigners lived. And there was and the crowd exploded, and they said,
amen.
That's a little bit better. People would clap and hoop and holler and say amen. And the next morning, the corridor would still be burned. Folks' houses would still be falling over. And I have to tell you that it kind of reminded me of our scripture reading, because Jesus comes to us, and well, really to his disciples, and says, you know, it's God's good pleasure, your Father's good pleasure, to give you the kingdom. And he talks about, he uses this vision, as long as you're ready. He says, be ready. And he talks about this vision of the master, which, by the way, I had a huge issue. This is a side note. It has nothing to do with my sermon. But I had a huge issue with Jesus using, like, master and slave in the gospel. I just told our worship team that we couldn't sing a song that had master in it because I didn't want to create this relationship. And then, of course, Jesus uses it. Always Jesus. He paints this vision of the master rolling up his sleeves, and you can almost imagine him getting down and finding the lowliest of his servants. I mean, don't want to go to you, Iva. Getting down on his knees and getting ready to serve them, which included not just serving them dinner, but washing their feet. And this would have been absurd. This is crazy. This is just ridiculous. It is like in Haruma when the preachers were saying, you know, if you just keep coming to church and if you just keep giving everything you can. By the way, the offering plate always went around right after the guy said BMW. If you keep giving all that you can, then God's going to bless you and create this new reality where there's no longer slums and you're no longer slum dwellers, but somehow you get this big house with a BMW. But I don't know if you were listening, but I was listening to the whole lectionary this morning, and I know what Drake just read was that the father and mother of the faith, Abraham and Sarah, who did everything right and gave everything, we hear that, what was it, that they never received their promise, that they died before they received their promise, and they just saw it from afar? Now, you know that it is worse if somebody promises you something, and then you're just short of losing it, right? And you've changed your entire life for that. I have an example. It's almost the same thing. When I was in college, I lived in New York, and Justin Timberlake was the host at Saturday Night Live. Like I said, very similar situation. The kingdom of God, you know. And this was a big deal. And there was a way. There was a possibility for me to get to see Justin Timberlake. And more importantly, for Justin Timberlake to get to see me. And I knew my life would be changed, just like with the gospel. And so the deal was you could try to get tickets, but you had to do it months beforehand before you knew who the guest was. I didn't get that. But there was a way at 7 a.m. They would have a little NBC, what are they called? An NBC person, employee, come out and give tickets. They were standby tickets, but they would give, you know, maybe 15, 20 standby tickets, maybe 30 sometimes. It just depended on what things were looking like and who showed up that day. 7 a.m. So you know you can't get there at 7 a.m. and be one of the first 25, right? You have to get there at midnight. And so me and two of my friends went with our backpacks and our makeup bags and stood in line. And we would, you know, take turns going to the bathroom. We figured out where the best bathrooms were. We would sit, we would stand, we did squats. We were trying to do some crunches, you know, because we wanted him to think that we were very fit. Reapplying makeup every hour because we're like, you know, the tour bus might arrive in the evening, the night before, and we want to be ready so that he sees us. And 7 o'clock comes around, and the NBC, are they called scribes? What are they called? What are the page. I knew it was one of those kind of words. The NBC page comes out, and she gives out 22 tickets. And then she closes the line right in front of me and my friends. This is the saddest this church has ever been. I'm okay, I've gotten that, guys. But it was so much worse because we knew how close we were. 24, 25, and 26. And we went home so tired, and our hearts were so much more fully broken because we had spent the entire night, we had given up an entire day of our lives for this hope. And that's a, kind of the same way it is here, right? You got, let me change your entire life. But by the way, the ones who changed it the most never got that promise. They saw it from afar. They were number 24, 25, and 26. Did I tell y'all I met some prophets last week? Did I tell anybody this? No, okay. Don't look at me weird. There are prophets in the world. Obviously, y'all have never met a prophet. I met a prophet once. I was going to a different kind of church, and this prophet was more like a fortune teller, you know, future teller person. But that's not the prophets that we hear about in the Bible. The ones we hear about in the Bible are really not future tellers, but truth tellers. And I met this group of prophets last week, before I even looked at the scripture reading, by the way. Met this group of prophets, and you know, it's funny, I always wondered what prophets would wear. And they were wearing some interesting clothing. They had Nike on and Under Armour, and some of them had some sundresses and sandals kind of like yours. And I'll tell you, I expected the sandals part, but not necessarily the athletic wear. But maybe that's what Jesus means in the gospel when he says, be dressed for action. You know, the prophets knew beforehand. So I sat down with these prophets. I know, it's very cool. And started talking to them. And you know what they told me? Let me just read you some of what they told me. They said, I hate your obsession with Sunday morning worship. Sometimes it's because I can't get up early, but most of the time, I hate your obsession with Sunday morning worship. The same old songs, the kumbaya sermons, and lessons. It's worse than school sometimes. And meetings. You Cumberland Presbyterians love your meetings. A meeting to have a meeting, to prepare for a meeting, for having a meeting. Do we really need all of those meetings in order to serve our neighbors? We have so many meetings, we don't have time to know one another to the depths that we can be vulnerable with one another, to the depths that we can cry with one another, to the depths that we can share all of who we are with one another and the world. And they said, here's what we want. We want to laugh and to dance, to be inspired and to serve, to build relationships, not just within this building, but outside of it as well. And we have this crazy idea. And remember, we're prophets. We know. We have this crazy idea that with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, not just in one person, but in all of us, we can change the world. And so, as I checked out their Lululemon pants and their Nike shirts, I shut up and I listened. Because when you have prophets around, you shut up and listen. And immediately, I thought back to a conversation that I had with Joyce Condren a couple of weeks ago. She's also like a secret prophet. Don't tell her. But I was interviewing her for this video, which I'll post and share with you all soon. But I asked her, where do you see the face of Jesus? Where do you see God? And to my surprise, she did not say, your transformative preaching. Or the thoughtful worship music. Or the way with such intention the prayer of confession has been written. Instead, she said, I see the face of Jesus when my husband does really nice things for me. And I thought that she was going to say, you know, I wanted to get an example of it because I assumed she was going to say, you know, when my husband reads me the book of Deuteronomy every night. But instead, she looked at me with all seriousness and said, I see the face of Jesus when every single night he brings me a glass of ice water and puts it by my bedside. And she said, it's just a simple thing. And she started crying. And I started crying, and we cried together. Because the prophets and Joyce both told me something that I often forget and get obsessed with. See, they knew that what we're doing right now, it is not the thing. Worship is not the thing. It's kind of what we do on Sunday morning. It is the preparation for the thing. It is the getting pumped up, getting renewed again so we can go out and do the thing. And I got so worked up, I got to figure out where I am. That we have worship so that we can get ready and have the energy to go out and live a new way. You see, Abraham and Sarah, they weren't on that wall of faith and they weren't the father and mother of the faith because they memorized the Apostles' Creed, or because their church had the best cantata, or because Abraham and Sarah and all of their many descendants, and you know they had lots of descendants, as many as the stars in the sky, right, in the sand, went to church and never missed a Sunday for 5 years. No, Abraham and Sarah, we're hearing about them because of their action. What they did out in the world, that they left everything they knew, everything they expected. They left an entire life and turned around and went into a new life. Not just on Sunday mornings for an hour or an hour and a half. And in Isaiah, God is not mad at Israel because of the low offering the Sunday before or because of the attendance on 4th of July weekend. God is upset because of what's not going on Sunday mornings. You see, we get this opportunity. And I read this wrong, by the way. I thought that God was just asking for us to sell all of our possessions. By the way, you notice that Jesus says that a lot, like he's serious or something. But no, we're asked for a lot more than that. God is asking us to give absolutely all of ourselves. And one of the ways we do that is selling all of our possessions and giving the proceeds to the poor. Because when we do that, it's not just affecting us, but we are creating this whole new way of being. The world literally changes in that moment if we all agreed to do that. And before you know it, we're down washing feet and serving great feast. So be radical. go ahead and start caring for the widow and the orphan, selling all that stuff that's not ever going to bring you joy. Secret, nothing's going to spark more joy for you Koh Mardi people than Jesus. Give to the poor, give your power, your privilege, your position, which often is harder for us than our money. Roll up your sleeves and give a glass of cold water to your honey or the homebound. Serve folks that have been enslaved by the world. Prepare a feast for them. The unhoused, the undocumented, the undeserving, the uninvited, the disinherited, and the dispossessed. And just like that, ain't no broken promises, or no just sing the promise from afar. You are always 24, 25, and 26, and they take everyone in line. And instead of seeing the promise from afar, we see the Father laughing while we're down on the ground with our sleeves rolled up, enjoying the pleasure of God's kingdom. Amen.